Hey everyone, welcome to this one-off podcast from pwponderings.com. I suppose an unofficial interview show, you could call this, with myself, Barry Murphy. Joined by a very special guest to discuss a very, very interesting project. I'm joined by Matthew Gregg, a.k.a. Mafu of Botchamania. Matthew, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Barry, lad, for that fabulous introduction.
Thanks very much. I'm really rehearsing the old radio spiel, you know?
Nah, you're part of the system now, sorry.
I'm so corporate. So we're doing this little show here. Obviously, there's a myriad of things we could talk about in the world of wrestling and whatnot, but there's one very particular reason I decided to reach out to you for this interview, and that's that you have a very interesting Kickstarter project going on at the moment, Wrestling with Pixels. And rather than me sort of butchering it and trying to explain what I think it is, why don't you just give us a sort of a quick rundown of what you think. What the project is, rather.
Love to, Barry. Basically, Wrestling with Pixels is a collaboration between myself, the fabulous Auden Sawley, who's been doing everything, I think. If you name a job or a position in the games, the video games journalism scene, he'll have done it or know someone who has done it. He's rubbed shoulders with the likes of, what's his name? Isn't it great? You just think of Japanese names and all that goes through your head is just typos. Nobu Uetsumo, the person who did the music for Final Fantasy, amongst other video games that no one else has played, and some other people in the video game scene. And he's done a lot of things there and said, well, Matthew, I'd like to do some of the projects. One thing I do have in particular, because he did interviewing the people who did the THQ/Aki games, like WCW NWA Revenge, WF WrestleMania 2000, and so on and so forth. And said, well, with his contacts and my... See, I hate doing interviews like this, Barry, because it's basically me having to go, well, I'm so well known and stuff like that. So it's from my studio apartment. Basically, my thing online too, because I had a previous Kickstarter last year that worked very well, and I'm still reaping the benefits of that, so thank you very much. Realised that we could put our two connections together and do something that, A, makes us both look good, my wrestling, his video game critiques and people to speak to, and makes something that people enjoy reading. So... looking at every video game that's currently being made to do with wrestling. And there's a lot of vaguely wrestling ones there as well that I was hesitant to include, but we're still going to do them anyway because if you're going to go the whole hog, might as well do it properly. So complete censored stuff like Rumble Roses, for example, I have no interest in whatsoever. We'll still be speaking to the developers of that. Backstage Assault, which I guess loosely could be called wrestling. Again, things like that. And it also means I get to rub shoulders with people like Kevin Nash next year. Kevin Nash.
Won't he bury you for liking video games, though?
Probably.
Oh, well.
I'm that big enough of a fan. If Kevin Nash wants to bury me, he can do so.
An honor and a privilege, I'm sure.
Good. I'm like Money Marks, but without the money.
yeah, I know how that goes, yeah.
So there's that. There's loads of people. Basically, it would be just a long, tedious list. And self-fellatio to keep on going on. All the different people are on the list, but you can check it out at the Kickstarter.com project. I won't give out the URL on the line because that's really stupid. But if you look for Wrestling with Pixels, it's the only thing that comes up because thank God no one else has taken the name.
Thank God, yeah. It's pretty easy to find, and also you could go to your Twitter, which is Mafu Gregg, is it?
It certainly is, Mafu Gregg.
And
I
also,
should have picked Mafu Botchamania a while ago. I don't know why I didn't do that, but there you go.
You think, does someone else have that?
That's right, the Botchamania one, just Botchamania, was taken when the original website was made by a shyster who doesn't even deserve a name drop.
Don't go to that Twitter we just mentioned, everyone. No,
don't go to there. The person decided to use it just to tweet to porn stars on a daily basis.
Well, that's what wrestling fans do all day, but you got unlucky, because I know some people like, I think Lance Storm was lucky enough, someone just gave him the Twitter name Lance Storm out of the kindness of their heart. They had it saved. But I guess you weren't so lucky. But yeah, so in a nutshell, you're kind of going for sort of an almanac of just basically every wrestling game that there's ever been back into the most primitive histories of video games themselves.
Right, right. Down to the NES game just called Pro Wrestling. So it's always been an idea of mine to have one of those books you have by the toilet. I'm not sure if you have one of these, Barry, but hopefully the other listeners do have one. A big book you have specifically by your toilet when you know... if you're going to be there for a long time, you can have one to have a read up and, you know, gain some knowledge and stuff like that. Like, I've got the UFC anthology book, and it's great. It's huge. You can put out a forest fire with it if necessary.
Yeah.
It's just a quick look. Oh, wow, that happened at UFC 96. How amazing. Just like that. So it's a great, great opportunity to make something like that for people to go, you know what, I want to see what Tecmo World Wrestling was about.
It is a really interesting idea for that kind of particular reason, because I have, a number of books like that myself, like just kind of, I think I got one free with a magazine years ago that was like every PlayStation 2 game ever or something like that.
Oh, those are good games. Yeah.
Things like that, and I've got like a Batman book and a Superman book where it's like, here's a mega detailed look at the Batarang, everything you wanted to know about the Batarang on one page, and it's like, I just love things like that. If you love wrestling and you love video games and you love, you know, trivia and history, it sounds like a super interesting project. So how did you, and I hope I'm not butchering his name, how did you and Auden, was it?
Yeah, that'll do. We call him Audi for easy, but you're not his friend, so you can call him Sir.
Oh, how did you and Mr. Soley come together, or Sorley even?
That's a good story, actually. I go to this annual convention every year in America called MAGFest. Mm-hmm. It's a movie... mess it up. Music and Gaming Festival. Basically, it's a big collaboration event of all the different people doing video game musics, people in the video game scene. Basically, nerds with talent. I'll go ahead with that.
Sure.
And I just thought, out of the blue, well, I'm going to go to that. Just because. Because everyone said great things about it. You know, it's the Woodstock of gaming conventions and stuff like that. It's much better than your typical nerd ones where you go and it's just people going...
It's just all weed and free sex, man.
Well, it wasn't free. but I went there and I didn't even bother to advertise myself because it was being in 2008, 9? No, it was in 2009, beg your pardon. And, you know, I've never seen any great effect in real life of my videos. People don't see me in the street and go, oh my god, you're the Bunch of Mania. It's just like online, it happens. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think to go, oh, I'm going to this, I'll meet up with you. So I went, just had a great time. People were like, who's that really nice British person? Oh, with the false accent he put on to impress the Yanks and all that. And then I put afterwards, like, wow, MAGFest was great. How good was that online? And everybody went, you went to MAGFest and you didn't tell anybody? Oh, I'd have loved to have shaken your hand or played you at No Mercy or done things I can't talk over on the radio and all these things. And yeah, so like, oh, fair enough then. And he was one of those people who said, oh, I think I spoke to you but didn't realize who you were. I mean, you had a sign that said Mafu, MAFFEW, and had a wrestling t-shirt, but didn't put two and two together. So when you hear that, you're like, oh, all right, yeah, you're one of the bright sparks then. You're a Mensa candidate, I take it. And he just said, yeah, I'm great from the videos, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, there's this nice guy, yeah, whatever. And just realized, like, oh, wow, this guy's like very involved in projects. He got the Final Fantasy orchestrated, I guess it's a term, orchestrated concert this year in London.
Oh, wow.
Set up and organized. So I'm like, oh, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. That's all right. So it was really, really fun having him as a person to know. He's helped me with the website. Tremendous bloke. And yeah, when he's had ideas, it's like, hey, you want to do this book idea? I'm like, yeah, sure, Audie. So he's the type of guy who comes up to you like every week with, oh, I've got this idea. And you're like, yeah, that'd be great. Sure. And then I said yes to this initially. And then I come up the next day, it's like, I had five people message me going, wow, what's this book you're doing? I'm like, oh, we're actually doing it. So
yeah.
He's basically, you know, there'll be part of me like, oh, we should do that. And he's a person, no, let's do it now. So great guy.
That's pretty good to have, because I mean, I'm sure you've had ideas over the last few years, over the course of the sort of success of Botchmania, of, you know, maybe I'll do this project, maybe I'll do this project. Having someone there to kind of say, hey, no, let's actually do it. That's a cool thing to have. And before the Kickstarter started, I only discovered the Kickstarter sort of earlier this week or maybe late last week. And I did notice when I was reading the wealth of info you've got up there, there's a really, really comprehensive write-up of the project and what it's going to be and how long it's been in the works. But one thing I did notice is that it has been in the works for a long, long time, and you have actually contacted a number of people and interviewed a number of people, and it's really not a from-scratch project. You've actually put a hell of a lot of work into it. So how long have you guys been working on this, and what kind of ground have you covered so far?
Honestly, it's all just the preliminary stuff to entice people. You know, like in Wile E. Coyote, Roadrunner cartoons, you know, where Wile E. Coyote right now with a stick and a bag and a bunch of birdseed on the floor. But no, seriously, on these people we've been contacting, I'll admit it's mostly been Audie, but saying, I can get interviews of this, this, and this. Because we have this, we can then, you know, use this to advertise this.
Right.
So on that, these are the draws. We're wanting people to pay money, come to the arena, and, you know, see what Glacier has to say about not being Sub-Zero, and so on and so forth. and so on and so forth. So it's actually been, it's not been like my videos. It's not where I just sit down and then do like all this and this planned. It's always been, you know, just do a little bit over a year, get this sorted out, getting all the fingers in the appropriate pies, just so I could actually pull the plug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Kickstarter kind of benefits from that as a result, kind of doing that work beforehand. Because I checked there just before we went to recording, and I believe you are just $500 thereabouts short of your goal. So hopefully within a few days of this going up.
I think by the end of this interview it'll go on. So let's just celebrate now, eh?
Yeah, it's just I always have, you know, a customary bottle of wine next to the bed, you know.
Oh well, I always have that as well.
Up in the morning.
Yeah, for different. and it's same thing. It's Kickstarter's, you know, a blessing and a curse at the same time. Black Spider-Man, in the sense that it's a great idea for people who can't get projects off the ground, but it does open up the possibilities of basically people who don't know what they're doing coming along, and it's the worst thing in the world when someone says, right, we have this idea, I want to go to the moon on a bicycle. Like, all right, cool, it'll take $20 million. How are you going to do that? How's the science going to work? I don't know. By the time I've got $20 million, I'm sure I'll have an idea. And you're like, okay, that's a great. So again, we realise that we're not daft. If we were doing people actually put money towards this, that we have to actually back this up and have ideas and things actually concrete. So, in fact, hey, we're going to do a new glacier. All right, cool. Well, you have to know that's happening. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as I said, it does look better from having all the work. Because you're right. I mean, Kickstarter is kind of... it's kind of polarising. I mean, even as popular as it is, some people really aren't on board with it. Some people love it. I mean, I've seen some, just within the wrestling sphere, there's been some great Kickstarters and there's been some very, very questionable Kickstarters. Did you see the Barbed Wire City documentary, the ECW documentary came out earlier this year?
I didn't see it, but I know it existed.
Yeah, that was a great success. That was, you know, they made good on all their promises. And I didn't contribute to it, but I bought it after the fact and I watched it, and it's a great, great watch. You know, a decade in the works. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that they've been working on it so long and they've depleted so many resources that it was like, without Kickstarter, it wouldn't have happened. But there's also been some humorously bad ones. I think I saw one earlier this year. It was seemingly just a guy, not a filmmaker or anything, but a guy who wanted to make a documentary about CZW, the history of CZW, and I think he got about 100 quid before the month ran out.
Oh, the joys of that, yeah.
I wish I got to interview that guy. This probably would have been a joy.
He couldn't even spell CZW. I remember this time last year, actually, I did a Kickstarter, and I felt really bad at the time, so I was like, this is basically me saying, look, I want to go to America. If this works, fine, I'll go yay, because I'm actually... things like advertising and music and promos and stuff like that. That I lived up to, by the way, all paid up. And did all that, and basically just asking, you pay me this money, I will give you something for it. And I thought, this is just begging, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, no, but you're giving people stuff. And if they're saying, right, I'll give you this if you give me this money, then that's pretty much how work works. So, like, oh, fair enough. Because at that time, I then slagged off that other wrestling video game project that hopefully won't be in this book, unless we fancy a laugh.
Unless it's finished, which it probably won't.
Oh, yeah, and I remember saying, like, oh, unlike certain other Kickstarters, I will deliver. And they got really annoyed. And so he messaged, like, oh, who does Matthew think he is? And it still hasn't been released.
Yeah. Proof is in the pudding, I'm afraid. So. Okay. But you mentioned the sort of rewards for doing it at Kickstarter to the people who pledge. And I was looking at the list, and you've got some really, really great stuff, because, of course, it is not just the book. You know, you've got digital versions, print versions, podcasts and DVDs with all, you know, number of great things, and also some works of art from Junk Boy, who's actually going to be illustrating the book, who is the mind, the artistic mind, behind the aesthetics of Minecraft, I believe.
That's right.
Which is such a striking game and such a kind of, really, I mean, there's just merchandise everywhere for it now. Everyone kind of knows what Minecraft looks like, even if they don't really play it. So, I mean, you've got a bunch of great options there for people if they pledge. How much time kind of goes into deciding just that aspect of it, what you're going to give people?
Oh, God. Again, it's... When people ask me, like, how long does something take? I just say, no, I've blocked out my mind because I'll just feel depressed.
Yeah.
I would say too long, because looking at the list now, because I've got it in front of me, there's a bunch of pledges. For example, the grand and a half pledge, mm-hmm. ridiculous pledge, has been taken. There's been a few ones, the 250 plus one with the fan interview pledge with some other things. And then there's the Mafu personal note pledge. Get the physical book and DVD and receive a handwritten thank you note on the inside of the first page by Mafu. No backers, so the hell of all of you.
Yeah.
But no.
I don't want this man's signature to devalue my book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. For $100 more, can he not sign it? So, yeah, we have the artistic mind of Junk Boy and the autistic mind of Mafu, so...
But it is, I mean, it's quite a, you know, that's, it's a great eclectic team because you've got yourself kind of, you know, because I feel like Botchamania, it has grown over time from a sort of compilation video of fails to, it kind of does have this sort of commentary running through it a little bit more than just people falling over, if you know what I mean. I mean, do you feel like there's a little bit of you in these videos and your kind of, your opinions and your kind of sense of humor in the videos more than just people botching?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if it wasn't that, at this point, I mean, I'll just run out of steam and go, no, if I can't make this a bit more, you know, what I would enjoy watching or make it fun for me, then you'd be like, no. Because everybody do failed videos now, regards to any forms of life. I'm sure there's, you know, man seeing a computer doing podcast fails, I mean, is at this point, whilst drinking Heinz Big Soup, TM. So good. So yeah, there's lots of it then. It's very masturbatory almost for the amount of, so that's stuff that I like in the videos that everybody else seems to enjoy watching as well. So it's probably not good for my psyche because it just basically means it's people saying, oh, wow, you're awesome. Look at your taste. You know, there's, God, like all the video game music, for example. The companies, like, I want to get the variety because I'm a wrestling fan and I can't just watch WWE.
Right.
If I watch just WWE every week, I'd probably not be watching it, watching any wrestling at all because I've got a varied palette. I like to get, you know, the PWG, as you're a huge fan of.
Absolutely.
The CZ Dub, no Ring of Honor, because they take down the videos. No Dragon Gate USA, because I'm allowed to use it, but they never get released in time. But and all the other stuff that's made. So it's, you know, getting that wide variety of things there. Even though people, you know, half of people watching videos are just, can you just put Raw botches on? I'm like, no.
There'll be no fun. How could someone exactly miss that?
Yeah, it'd be like eating nothing but cheese all day.
Yeah.
So
no, you need the eclectic treats like Excalibur screaming bathicle kick during a match, you know?
Arm drag.
Yeah, I'm actually, if it doesn't come tomorrow, I'm gonna have to wait over the course of the weekend. I'm impatiently waiting for my PWG winter sale swag to come. So I'm gonna be harassing the post lady for that for the next few days. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, it really is. It's a little bit of everything in those videos, and I feel like that kind of, you know, you've got a great kind of universal sense for wrestling, and you've got Auden with his many, many years of experience in gaming and his connections and Junk Boy on the Art. I mean, it's great stuff. So, I mean, I'm just looking at the list of people consulted for this book, kind of for interviews and for insights and stuff like that. One name that jumps out at me right away, and this is actually mentioned on the Super Best Friends cast, which I believe you're going to be on next week.
I wasn't aware of that, but apparently, yeah, if that's what it says, then yes.
Well, maybe you're not, but someone, I think maybe your fellow Kickstarter.
I'll just show up like Scott Hall on TNA Turning.
you know. So. but there's some kind of update on the Kickstarter page that you're going to have a presence on. Not you specifically, but someone from the Kickstarter might have a presence on there. Or I might be getting confused because I know you guys are going to be working with those guys for people who get the $50 pledge.
No, that's quite right. We are. The more and more people we're absorbing into our midst, a bit like Majin Buu from Dragon Ball Z, I think the better it's going to get. Because it's really weird for me doing projects like this, because Botchamania has been, even though it has been a lot of fan interaction, I'm not disregarding their influence or help over the years, but basically just being me and a laptop making it. Because other projects I've done before Botchamania just died on their ass. I'm like, oh, I don't trust anybody. I can trust myself, and that's why this thing's still going, so, you know, I can always fall back on myself. So doing projects like this with loads of people involved, I'm like, oh, this is actually really working well. Oh, good. Faith in humanity restored.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, have you ever, I mean, prior to this this kind of book, have you ever considered kind of branching out from doing just these videos? Because I know you had, you've worked with Power Slam a little bit and you've done Colin, you know, here and there.
Yeah, I've quit them.
You quit them?
Yeah, I ask, all you want me to do is an article on, hey, go online and type in a URL. There's this really funny video. Because I said that's kind of why I wouldn't buy a magazine. If you read a magazine, you'd want to read some nice articles or some features or interviews, like, you know, Fighting Spirit magazine is doing really well. And they were like, nah, we just want you to do this. So I said, nah, quit then. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
terms of branching out, yeah, and I was like an idea a week about, oh, we should do this and do this and do this, and usually just like, nah. It's one of these things where you go, yeah, that'd be great, and you come to do it like, oh, actually, no, this is a horrible idea. What was I thinking?
You probably have enough on your plate trying to satiate Botchamania fans and keep them happy, because they always
exactly
want,
God,
I mean, more videos, and they want, you know, more this, and they want more everything, and
yeah, and they always say like, it'd be an hour after the video's been uploaded, people message me, great, when's the next one? I'm like, no problem, I'll just watch this week's Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, Superstars, NXT, the Bottom Line, Classics, oh, and don't forget, Impact, whatever shows happening in PWG or CZW, and, oh, yeah, maybe some British wrestling, and, oh, yeah, something, oh, God. So, yeah, nicest way possible, yeah, keeping Botchamania fans happy is always an important thing.
Yeah, yeah. I notice Impact is very low on your list there.
Oh, actually, I don't watch Impact anymore. I forgot. They started taking the videos down for Impact use, and also the one night only pay per views. Mm-hmm. But pay per views are fine.
Oh, so they let you use them, do they?
Yep. No issues using pay per view footage, but Impact and one night only, no.
Yeah, I've had my fill of Impact of late. Also,
yeah, I think Billy Corgan must be a fan.
I don't even know where to start with that whole story. That is such a weird story. But there's actually quite an amusing story about Billy Corgan trying to buy ECW.
I remember that. He attacked Justin Credible at one time.
Yeah, and on that documentary from the Barbed Wire City folks, he spoke to them over the course of their filming, and he was like, when ECW was nearly done, dusted, up their eyeballs in debt, Paul Heyman offered to sell it to him for $1 million, and Corgan was like, okay, well, what do I get for $1 million? And Paul Heyman said 10%. And he said, $1 million gets me 10%. He goes, I'm aware it's not worth $10 million, Paul. So I'm wondering what his conversations with TNA are like right now. But
I'll call you right back.
Yeah, exactly. And then he started Twitter feuding with Dave Meltzer, which was weird. There you go.
Wow, well, nothing says breathtaking like a Twitter feud, but I'd like to imagine the Paul Heyman, Billy Corgan conversation went something like, hello, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, and Paul Heyman said, Paul Heyman, bouncing checks.
Yeah. Oh, poor Paul Heyman. I like how a lot of people are fantasizing that he would buy TNA. And I was like, I know everyone loves ECW, but let's not forget, they didn't last very long. I mean, it's not like he's going to come in and get a job in accounting and turn TNA around.
Yeah, like saying an arsonist in a bed factory. Yeah, it's always weird talking to fans and what they want to happen, and it's always just this crazy stuff. It's like, wow, you see, we've got Bully Ray, AJ Styles feud. What do you want to see happen on TNA Impact? It's always like Paul Heyman by TNA. Like, it's always disparagingness of what happens on TV, and you speak to fans and their reality of situations.
Yeah. Oh, God bless them. Anyway, well, that sounded patronizing on me. Anyway. So yeah, as I was saying there earlier, I was looking at this list of people consulted, and this one jumped out at me, and it was mentioned on the Best Friends cast. I did not expect to see this name in the wrestling realm. Suda 51 worked on Fire Pro Wrestling.
I was surprised about that as well. Yeah, I imagine it was just the temp or he made the tea, or sake, beg your pardon, Suda. Yeah, I remember Suda 51 because I enjoyed No More Heroes. Yeah. Not all of it, but most of it. And then I remember watching E3 this year. I came up with the famous Suda 51, and I went, who the hell is Suda 51? And everyone's just like, you don't know anything, Matthew. I'm like, oh, okay. But yes, the Suda 51, which of course is his real name, will be joining in this to tell us all what the hell he's doing in our book.
Yeah. So obviously, Fire Pro Wrestling Legendary series, which I've never played for some reason. I should fix that eventually. But the reason that's so unusual, if you're perhaps not sort of an avid follower of game news and figures and gaming, works on, you know, very bizarre kind of, I don't know if niche is the right word, but games with a cult following, distinct,
yeah, I get you,
wacky story and artistic style. Basically the last person you'd expect to be working on a wrestling game, but, you know, he certainly has his tenure and he has his fans. So I'd be very, very interested to find out what he has to say, especially tied to such a legendary series. So out of curiosity, before we go further down the list, I mean, have you played Fire Pro? Are you a Fire Pro veteran? Are you a...
I'm actually not one of those big Fire Pro Wrestling fans that you hear and read about. I've seen the game. I'm aware of its existence. If I had to pick one game on this list to go, yeah, that's me, it's No Mercy by far.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not too concerned about Rumble Roses because, well... Yeah. come on. But yeah, No Mercy is to me the pinnacle of a lot of my fandom growing up and all of everybody else's accumulated fandom. Because at that stage when everybody in England watched Royal Rumble 2000, because it was on Channel 4 live for free, and followed it on that little brief, wave, that ended up petering off right after WrestleMania X7. But that game came out, had everything that we loved about the company at the time. It played amazingly well, and had those great GIFs.
Oh, yeah, as the entrance videos, yeah.
Steve Blackman with his light sticks.
But yeah, I mean, I'm a No Mercy guy too. I actually, in a bizarre occurrence, I met up with some friends who are wrestling fans who I met in the online realm. So I've officially crossed that stream in my life now. I've met wrestling fans off the internet, and one of them, I could not believe it, hates the Aki Engine, and I was like, "You, sir, should be outcast from the internet wrestling community for that transgression." I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, you know, opinions are like arseholes. Everybody's got one and they all stink.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, No Mercy, the WWE games, I've enjoyed, but nowhere near as much as No Mercy, up until WWE 13, which I think plays very well. It's definitely the best WWE game they've made so far, so I'm looking forward to 14 as well, if just for the Warrior.
Exactly, yeah. I'm probably going to forego 2K14, just because I believe that one was already like half finished by the time THQ went under, and thus it's not so much a fresh beginning, whereas next year, maybe the new management will perhaps instill some life in that. But on that subject, also listed on the Kickstarter page is former employees of THQ, who... For like, what, I believe a decade and a... more than a decade had the WWE video game license prior to going out of business.
That's right. I made some amazing games, like No Mercy and WrestleMania 2000. And some thoroughly awful games, which is pretty much every other one, including Crush Hour, which I actually beat.
Oh man, Crush Hour.
Then I got told you have to beat the game with every character and lock the extra people, like Kevin Nash, and so I use a cheat code.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, there's like, that's the thing, because you mentioned like some of the ones that you were unsure to include in the production. I mean, there have been some super weird wrestling games. I mean, just to go back, I mean, I should clarify, I was really excited when I heard that you guys and the best friends from YouTube were going to be collaborating, because they're my favorite Let's Players on YouTube.
Yeah. They always talk about me. Thank you.
Yeah, well, they did in August. They did a month of wrestling games. They played one wrestling game a month, and they did a video of it. Just, you know, a couple of matches, or played around with the story mode, and it included things like the classics, you know, like your great Aki games, and it also included your weird Rumble Roses and your everything else. And it's just the recurring theme through all the episodes was that there was countless Botchamania references and all these things. I feel like it's kind of permeated the wrestling fans' vocabulary at this stage. Like, so many people will just make a Botchamania reference sort of in their everyday conversations. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think people don't even realize they do when they go to wrestling shows. Like, I like it, I do enjoy it, but Super Dragon being used as a chant at shows people aren't enjoying. I think if you ask them something, I was like, "Why are you doing this?" They go, "It's fun to chant."
Yeah.
Or they go, "Oh, Botchamania."
As opposed to, they might not even know Super Dragon is a person. They might not know.
Yeah, I think it's because it just sounds so ridiculous if you don't know, like, what's a Super Dragon?
Yeah.
But that's got to be an anime, right?
Oh man, now I want a PWG anime. Someone make that on Kickstarter.
Someone curb stomps Jesus into the sun.
Yeah. But yes, you've got your THQ staff, and I mean that's got to be pretty interesting considering they pretty much, you know, they're kaput now. You reached out to those guys?
Yeah, THQ, like I said, they had a very weird output. I'm pretty sure, actually, if I need to have a look, they made the Rugrats game for the PlayStation 1, which it was weird because I actually went to a retro game convention this year. And it was one of those games that everybody we were with, everybody around us, had played. These things, like, I was talking about this with a friend as well, about this, certain things that our generation, or like 1 or 2 years above or below, have all experienced for whatever reasons, being at the right time. The Rugrats game for PlayStation 1 is definitely one of them.
Yep.
The Raptor? What's his name?
Reptar
Golf and so on and so forth. And the other thing was the I'm not sure if Barry, I'll just ask you this. Obviously. Do you ever remember the advert for Jaffa Cakes that went full moon?
Oh god, yeah.
Half moon, and then Total Eclipse.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That came up, and everybody I spoke to remembered it.
That's like, yeah, something. This is such a kind of era specific thing. Rugrats games and that really terrible Half Moon Jaffa Cake.
Yeah, that's commercial. It. Like, oh, do you remember this? I'm like, no, like I don't like you.
If trust me, Americans who don't know what we're talking about, you're better off not knowing what we're talking about. Just go go buy some Jaffa Cakes more than anything else. That's the one thing you need to know.
Northern references, yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
Have you any THQ memories?
Oh, THQ. I mean, I was actually. I mean, now that I think about it, they had their name attached to some of my favorite games. I did. I'd say that Rugrats game an awful. I think it's because I was a big fan of Rugrats growing up, as a lot of people were.
Yeah, very well.
Really, really good show, and and wrestling games as well. I mean, pretty much No Mercy. Despite the fact that I did have one of the defunct copies that constantly erased your program.
Oh, I had that as well. God, that was.
I don't think I've spoken to anyone who didn't. I remember reading in a unofficial Nintendo magazine of the era that they had reissued a bunch of them, and I think they said something like check the barcode because ones with certain barcodes work properly and things like that. That's like, you know what? That might be my most vivid THQ memory is that whole debacle, because it as annoying as it was, it did not stop people from playing No Mercy extensively. And the other thing I sort of remember is there was almost a, you know, Monday Night War caliber divide among fans when I was growing up because of the THQ video games, because of course they were separated by system. So, the Aki games were the old Warhorse, but then on these new shiny, newfangled PlayStation 1 devices, you had this, you know, mega fast, cocaine addicted SmackDown games.
I was going to say, yeah, cocaine addicted is definitely one way to describe it. I definitely preferred the N64 engine rather than SmackDown one. Mm-hmm. For the specific reason, I didn't like going all the effort of jumping off Hell in a Cell on Funaki, mm-hmm. only for him to kick out at two.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, because I think I noticed on the Kickstarter too that there's a little note that's kind of covered. That's one of the. You're covering, you know, the history of all these games, and that's kind of
right.
Talked about is how they go in their separate ways. And it was kind of disappointing. I mean, obviously, I made the Monday Night Wars comparison, but it was disappointing for me as a gamer that, N64 and PS1, you had No Mercy and SmackDown. And then PS2 had SmackDown, Xbox had Raw, and Nintendo had a variety of different things, which I believe did carry on the Aki engine in some form. And then...
Yeah. But it was more like the Midnight Express was... the N64, and for the GameCube, it was more like the new Midnight Express with Bombastic Bob.
Yeah, okay. So it was, yeah, kind of similar, but really not, yeah.
Exactly.
It was disappointing when at the tail end of that generation and for the length of this one, there was synergy and it was one game developed across all the platforms. I mean, that was disappointing. I mean, that's a general thing in games. There's only a small few exclusives on any of the systems, and that kind of embodies itself with the wrestling games, because I'm super disappointed that, you know, I remember just the arguments about which was better, and I kind of wish that was still a thing, but that's also another problem is that there is no WCW video game and there's no ECW video game, and
that's true. I mean, it's when you're talking about the different platforms, I remember when Konami was making Castlevania for the Mega Drive, the SNES, and that other console, the PC Engine. Making different games for both of them that would utilize the, you know, the best aspects of the consoles. Like the PC Engine had a much better graphical scale. The SNES was capable of atmosphere and better sound chip. And the Mega Drive one was more arcadey, so it was much more fast-paced. And all three of them are great games, but obviously, you know, marketed towards those. Now it's just, I'll just get it pumping.
Yeah. It is. I mean, because you're covering, like, this is not just a WWE history. You've got this entire history of just every video game, even ones that are sort of brand free, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, I'm really disappointed by the fact that the only potential competitors for the WWE games today are sort of indie projects, that are some of which we've alluded to earlier, and there's other little ones that there have been murmurings of that I don't think I've actually seen materialize yet. That's disheartening. Did you play the Impact game a couple of years ago?
I didn't. I read the reviews and went, all right, never mind.
Yeah, it was weird because there was a shred of there was some good stuff in it, but it's just it was not a very well put together package. If you played the AAA Lucha Libre game, this generation, same engine transformed over, and also that the really weird over the top WWE All-Stars game from a few years ago.
Oh, God. It was fun because Giant Bomb, bloody website, I did an interview with the developers of that, and they were saying off the record there's a lot of influence of Botchamania in the game that they were making, that over-the-top style and making it ridiculous and stuff like that. Wow. Which I thought was really nice, and I said, really would appreciate if they said it on the record, but there you go. I guess it's like going to work for Universal Studios and go, oh, yeah, I pirate all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, one of the worst things about this, because always going to be a negative, is, yeah, all these games that it's like, oh, yeah, that one, yeah, I'll have to actually play this for this book. Right, so there's stuff like that TNA game, that Hogan game.
Oh, man.
Libre. There's been a lot. I mean, even the joys of stuff like WWE Raw for the Mega Drive, not the Xbox, where Luna Vachon had more powerful strikes than 1-2-3 Kid for whatever reason. Or the In Your House game, which for the arcade version's not that bad, but SNES version's rough. And as Kevin Nash likes to point out, he was the world champion around this time and he's not in the game, but Doink the Clown is.
Yeah, there's a bunch of really weird the rosters even to this day are hard to nail down, but back in the day when there was like 10 guys in the game, there was really, really notable omissions. I know if you go back and watch, I don't know if you've seen the Joe Gagne videos on YouTube, just reviewing random old games that he's found.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He keeps on messaging me stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, he's a really interesting guy.
And, leave me alone, Joe. So carry on.
But, yeah, I mean, he always notes how very unusual the rosters are. And so, some of those WCW games have the weirdest no-name jobbers you've never heard of, even as a joke, are in there, and it's just...
I mean, World Tour was the best one for that, because obviously they modified the Japanese license from Virtual Pro Wrestling to be used in this, and then so there's all the guys like Onita's in it, and Abdullah the Butcher, but they've all got great names like, Judo Joe from the, Abdullah the Butcher was Saladin, you know, Hayabusa's Hannibal. Yeah. More copyright friendly, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, remember the guide that came with it? That got a lot of it got reprinted because I never bought the guide myself. But it's one thing I'll try and pick up on eBay for this exact reason for this book. So yeah, I can justify my ridiculous spending of things. Abdullah the Butcher was named Saladin, and they gave him this fake bio, presumably written by the guy who happened to write the book, and it said he was a former Afghan secret service operative who refused orders to assassinate Mikhail Gorbachev. Which is just like, wow, I'm picking him. And you see him in the like, oh.
I want to play as, like, Jack Bauer.
Yeah, he's obviously looking for a spin-off Abdullah the Butcher game.
Oh, man.
Are you a fat enough dude to rescue the president?
So many tasteless jokes running through my head. I'm going to ditch them all. I'm not going to go for them.
I'm pretty sure Mikhail Gorbachev's stronger than Hepatitis C.
We
were all thinking it. Don't act like you were.
No, we were going so well, too. Oh, well, I apologize, Abdullah. I know you're a big PW Ponderings fan. I apologize if you heard that.
I'm sorry, Abdullah.
Sorry, Abdullah, we respect you, really. But yeah, you mentioned that main event game, the Hulk Hogan main event game. I gave up my 360 long before, not long before, but I never got a Kinect, so I did not have the joys of playing that, but man, that thing. Ooh. See, what I'm curious to know, and more reason to buy the book, I'm very interested to see if they're going to be like, it wasn't too bad, just certain things didn't work, or if they were just like, look, we got paid to do this, and we had no time and no money, so we just did it, and we don't think it's good. You know, I'm very interested to hear what those guys actually have to say about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's do the Gerald Ford thing of, do you throw the previous company under the bus, or do you go, oh no, they were a great guy without looking too bad, you realize that it didn't get a great recognition, because at the same time, it's all going to be good publicity for the people, but they don't want to insult the people too much, or, who would want to employ someone and go, yeah, we didn't even try. It's like, give me a job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all politics. I didn't play the Kinect game either, because I'm above the age of 12. And I sold my Xbox 360 last year because it, even though it did play DVDs really, really well, it still wasn't justified by gathering dust.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Scott Pilgrim.
But looking at some of the other names here, and another interesting group of people who I'd be very interested to hear about what they're up to going forward is Shuji Yoshida and Gata from Aki, the Aki engine we were previously discussing. They're going to be involved.
Look at those wacky names. I imagine those are renamed as well, like Gator's actually a rename of some guy and he refused assassination attempts of Ronald Reagan. But yeah, again, it's always hard to interview people that you know and like, if you interview complete strangers, you're like, oh, this is fine, but it's always, you know, like, oh my god, I played your game so much as a kid. And like, so remember, I actually met up with Nobuo Uesumo 2 years ago. I remember in the lobby of the hotel, and someone told me that he was actually a big wrestling fan, and that he actually initially was, before he started the music and so on and so forth, trained to be a wrestler. And I thought it was like he just someone making fun, like, oh yeah, go up to him and talk about wrestling, Matthew, because you're so obsessed with it. And I just went up and talked to him and said, oh, excuse me, sir, you know, oh, I just want to ask, are you a big wrestling fan? He went, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes. And I was expecting him to say yes, because I said Poresu. So I was like, oh, Poresu, yes, yes. And I was like, oh my god, he actually is a big wrestling fan. So I thought, great. And he said, oh, are you? I thought, all right, I'll name drop a wrestler that you'll have heard of. And I think, right, who can I name? Onita, Akebono, Kawada, who am I going to name? And I went, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of Bobo Sapo. No. I even did, like, the, you know, the arm flex, like, Bobo Sapo, like an action figure as well. And Nabu with his band there went, oh, ha, ha, Bobo Sapo, ha, 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 ha. I'm like, oh, God. So either the worst or greatest moment of my life so far, I'm decided which.
It might be the best, to be honest. It might be the best, depending on how well the book goes over. But yeah. So we got, who else we got here? We got ESF. And you've also got a couple of, I mean, there's a long list. You can check out the Kickstarter page for everything. But you've also got some wrestling figures, including, not action figures, as in people with wrestling. You've got Mick Foley, you've got Samoa Joe, you've got AJ Styles, and you've got Mike Quackenbush. So some real interesting wrestling names to provide some insights on this project.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be the person interviewing Mike Quackenbush or not, given I made some comments about the downfall of Chikara, rather like the downfall of the USSR. I don't know why USSR keeps on getting brought up in this interview for whatever reason. I really enjoyed Chikara when it was around in its heyday, say 2007, 2011. I didn't think it petered off after that. If you notice, something's going on with the company when all four of the major storylines are exactly the same. Like, oh, my former tag team partner split up from me. And it's a very shame that it's not around anymore, to be honest. But it's always humorous to see the way they dealt around it with not getting a definitive answer and talking entirely in kayfabe, like some sort of American Kendo Nagasaki who still thinks it's the 80s. But yeah, still respect him. Hope he comes back. AJ Styles should be good for a laugh as well, as long as I don't mention anything about God, so I don't throw the mic like he did with Chris Bosh. Samoa Joe, hopefully, will be a nice person. I'll just have to say, so, Joe, you look like you play video games.
Yeah. There was an amusing moment, actually, when Joe was on the Steve Austin podcast. He mentioned something about playing video games, and Austin, in a nice kind of joking way, Minnie kind of went off on him. I said, I hope you don't have those video games backstage, Joe. Yeah. Using that monitor to watch the match. And Joe said, no, sir, of course not, no. When in reality, he's back there, you know, Angle and Bobby Roode are out there, and Samoa Joe's backstage playing The Last of Us.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you should respond to... Austin, have you seen Impact recently? Since Bruce Pritchard's gone, it's not the Brother Love show anymore.
Yeah.
It's more like the something bad show. But yeah, I just think Samoa Joe's a Last of Us fan. Or failing that, I'd say he's definitely a King of Fighters guy.
Yeah. An interesting parallel that was kind of talked about on the Kickstarter was kind of the tie-in from kind of... the boom and the bust of wrestling versus, you know, the boom and the bust of video games. I thought that was a pretty interesting...
Definitely. And you did a little bit earlier on in the interview. Again, one of the best things about the videos that's made it such a success is the crossover between video games and wrestling. Mm-hmm. Two mostly male-orientated pastimes that there's a lot of crossover with. Which is why, again, we're justifying this being a project because, you know, there's lots of nerdy people like wrestling, lots of wrestling people like video games and so on and so forth. So it's also interesting looking at the parallels between the two, as you're quite right.
So, I mean, as we kind of just looking through all my different stuff here. So you're also going to be recording a podcast, is it, for people who pledge above a certain level?
Yeah, this is going to be it. Bye. No, yeah, we're going to be doing a special podcast again, just regular people's. Because, again... seeing what people's different experiences of video games are, because I'm of the generation that grew up playing WWF Raw and hating it, and then grew up a bit later on and loving No Mercy, and then feeling no real connection or enjoyment of the games, apart from Def Jam Vendetta, which is really good. No one beats D-Boy. But then there's obviously people who were born a lot earlier than myself, who grew up playing Wrestle War and the WCW, what was it, World Championship Wrestling game for the NES. Yep, so good they named it twice. And then likewise, there's people younger than me who love the SmackDown versus Raw games and would, again, be like the person you talked about before, not too fond of the No Mercy games because it's them, it's outdated, or this doesn't play as well as the new games, for example. So everyone's got their different experiences and ideas of what would be a really good wrestling game. So it's always good to see what the different experiences and interactions are. I mean, what makes it good? Is it being able to hit people outside the ring with a bucket? Is it being able to modify your character down to their eyebrows? Or is it playing a game where you can put people through snooker balls?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really partial to those Def Jam games. That's one thing, that's why I'm super interested to hear from the Aki guys, because it interests me that, my understanding of the situation is that EA, of course, has the Def Jam license, excuse me, they do own the Aki engine, and they choose just to not use it. I believe that's the situation currently. They just didn't use it in that most, the Def Jam game that was like released 6 or so years ago, which nobody bought.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, the music one. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's funny that someone must have thought, hey, no one buys these because they're good wrestling games. They buy it so you can play as the Snoop Dogs.
Well, exactly, because presumably they'll have to pay Aki the license fee to use their engine, same way they use it for Half-Life. So they must have looked at it and go, yeah, well, we can save some money by not using this engine. And coincidentally, that was the last Def Jam game, unless I'm not mistaken. So.
Yeah, it was. I think the only games the Def Jam license has been attached to has been like rapping games and DJ games, I think.
So it's all down to trying to save money in the long run, costing yourself money. Much the same way that's when the comic went first, when they went entirely to reprint.
Mm-hmm. I still kind of hold out hope that EA will put out, you know, Wrestling 2015 or something, and they'll get every company that isn't WWE, and they'll put together, you know, they'll get TNA and ROH and New Japan and AAA and CMLL and every indies, put them all together like FIFA, and put the Aki engine in there, and put Jim Ross on the front cover of it, seeing as he's Mr. I'm not in WWE anymore. You put him on the front of it, and that will never ever happen. I don't think ever, because wrestling is so super mega cold that when TNA is the biggest name you have to put on your box, you're in trouble. But I don't know. I can dream, I suppose.
I was gonna say, any game where you can get like Jim Ross versus King Muscle from Ultimate Muscle would be a good idea.
So like, I don't know. I'm mildly cynical when it comes to the future of games, because I'm kind of cold on those WWE ones. But, you know, new generation and all that jazz, 2K are in charge. Maybe they'll get Ukes to buck up their ideas, but we'll see. So before we kind of finish up here, I mean, is there anything else about the project you wanted to let us know about other than, you know, because it's going to keep going. I mean, as I said, you're very, very likely to hit your $18,000 goal, because you're 500 away now and there's like 2 weeks to go. So you've nailed it. So, what kind of, as the budget expands, is it just to kind of improve the quality of the work you're doing and maybe pull in some extra names or what have you? And is that the plan?
Yeah, definitely. Bigger, better, badder, just like WrestleMania 2. I mean, we've got an idea that people are obviously enjoying and going, oh, great, I'd love to read about that, as you're saying. Now it's going to look at improving it.
Awesome. So just a reminder, it's Wrestling with Pixels. You can go to Kickstarter.com, search for Wrestling with Pixels, and it's very easy to find. And there's a video up there explaining what the book is going to be about. There's a huge, huge write-up of all the people involved, all the ideas involved. There's some screenshots. There's some proof of concept. There's a list of different pledge options. So you can give a little $2 support just to say, hey, I support this. $20 one to get a full-color digital version of the book and some bonus content. Or you can take the option that I'm very tempted to and go 50 and get the DVD and some other options. Or you can spend $1.50. And get it's just something really cool. Like, you're gonna bring a book with you to all the interviews and get people to doodle or write or leave a message in it and things of that nature.
Yeah, it'll just be stuff I write, things like "stop fucking staring at me" or something.
Whatever they want. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, something like that. And I'd like to point out, as much as I'm being like the rep because I'm the guy with the name. God, how sounds that? And I'm just one minor role in this. All the people like the Auden Solis or Audi, if you can't pronounce the name, Junk Boy. Apparently likes Lucha Libre. I've never spoken to him, but I assume he's a nice guy. Vivian Deschamps, mispronounce all these names. Vivian Deschamps, Brenna Wilkes, oh god, they're so much easier to pronounce when they're on screen. And the two people play. That's not the name, is it?
Two best friends play.
Oh, they're two best friends. Oh god. Yeah, I'm clearly not reading this from a script. Like, so yeah, all those people are involved in it. I am just basically the mayonnaise bringing up all these lovely different flavors into this deep fried rice of a book.
What a wonderful metaphor that is to round this show off. So, for more information, obviously, I'm going to, when this is posted on PW Ponderings, it'll probably be, like, embedded in an article with all the links for your convenience, so check that out. Also, botchamania.com and at Matthew Greg on the Twitter machine. So, we're going to sign off here. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Be sure to check back pwponderings.com for more podcasts, more articles, more reviews, more events, and all that fun stuff, and more podcasts as well. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. And we will talk to you folks again in a while.
Bye, fuckers.